It's just coming up to 3 o'clock on TLC. Very shortly, I will be talking to Megan Albany, who's written a wonderful book called The Very Last List of Vivian Walker. And remarkably, she's also turned out a CD with a musical tracks that go with the book. Here's one of them. It's called Sink So Low.
Take flight, search all night.
Very beautiful track there from Megan. I'm going to say Megan Albany, Sink So Low. And if I pressed all the right buttons, we should have Megan on the line now. Are you there, Megan?
I am. Great. Nice to be here.
And we can hear you. And of course, we're broadcasting from Yagle country here in Yamba. Beautiful Yamba. Whereabouts are you at the moment?
I'm actually on Ngunnawal Mijimbal country, out near Kunga or Yukai or Lumbin or Mount Warning for people who know that area.
Yeah, okay. I'm really loving this, the way people introduce what country they're speaking from these days. Of course, ABC TV is doing it all the time and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, look, I actually even saw on the block on Channel 9 they're introducing it and they even did some
good grief.
Stuff on, yeah.
On Channel 9.
On Channel 9, so there you go. It's all happening now. We're on the downhill run if Channel 9 are doing it, I reckon.
Yes, yes, we're winning. We're definitely winning. Rightio. Now, yes. we better talk about this wonderful book, The Very Last List of Vivian Walker. Now, would you like to give the listener a brief synopsis of what it's all about? By the way, it's a very small radio station. I've only got one listener. Her name's Gladys. Tell Gladys all about the story.
Well, Gladys, you're going to love this book. The Very Last List of Vivian Walker is actually a story about a woman who's dying of cancer, but she's still got a list of things to do, and it's not your Hollywood bucket list. It's things like she's still got to clean the fridge, she's still got to clean out her son's toy room, and she's still got to do all the stuff that you have to do even when you're dying, including organising her own funeral, because unfortunately her husband, who though he's very
just
helpful,
a bit
he's not
hopeless.
Very good at those kind of thing.
No, I love the description of her fridge. I thought, I know that fridge. I've got one of those. as with the compost heap and in the crisper. So it could, on the face of it, sound like a pretty grim subject, a person dying, but it's not quite like that, is it?
No, look, it's kind of funny, and I think I wanted to make it funny for a few reasons. One is, of course, my friend who was dying that inspired the book was quite hilarious on her journey. But also, I think we kind of don't talk about death, and I think we don't talk about it because we don't want to feel sad, but we do feel sad, and I think if we don't talk about it, that sadness stages us a lot longer than it needs to. So I wanted to write something that talks to, you know, that funny things do still happen when people are dying.
They do.
In particular, if you've got family around.
Yep.
And we've all watched the movies and we're expecting them to turn up like, you know, across between the Dalai Lama and Mother Teresa. But, of course, if they've never turned up like that before, they're not going to turn up like that in a crisis. And I think that, in fact, in a crisis, people aren't always on their best behaviour. In fact, quite the opposite. So I wanted to take that pressure off us all to turn up like some sort of saint at the bedside, or the person who's dying can often be a bit cranky about that too.
Yes. And like, this is an important subject, really, because it's something all of us confront. I mean, our own mortality, but also it's just part of life that you are going to lose people along the way, and having some idea of how to cope with that is probably a pretty good life skill to have.
Yeah, look, I was actually down talking to Norman Swan at the Canberra Writers Festival.
And, I love and Norman said, Swan.
Oh, he's lovely. And then he said to me, well, I guess you've dealt with death a lot, you know, being a Kalkadoon woman. And I said, I don't think it's confined to Aboriginal people. And I said, hand up here. And there was probably about 400 people in the room who hasn't experienced a loss. And one person put their hand up. And
really?
And I think...
What, yeah, were they 3 years old or something?
Yeah, something like that. But pretty well most people have. But you kind of can still feel alone in that because we're not talking about it. But once you realise that pretty well everyone in the room with you, no matter where you are, has experienced a loss, it makes it easier to... you don't feel alone. You can start to talk about it. You can say, oh, my God, my relatives were like that too. I couldn't believe it.
And every experience is quite unique, isn't it? The passing of any individual, the circumstances are going to be different every time. So the dynamics can be quite different, and that's okay. It is normal. So there is no fixed formula for how you deal with someone who's passing because it's different every time.
Yeah, and I think, death's as individual as we are. And, you know, we plan for births and we plan for weddings and we plan for all those sort of things. So, planning for, or just being aware of your choices when it comes to death, and also figuring out how you are going to keep a sense of humour along the way, I reckon is pretty important.
Very important.
You know, it can't all be tears all the way. You have to be able to find... find the beauty and the joy and the humour in it, because there are some beautiful moments and there are some very funny moments as well.
Absolutely. Now, tell me if I've got this completely wrong, but I read the book and I thought, I'm sure there's some deep inner meaning to the concept of the list. Everybody seems to have a list in this book. Am I barking up the wrong tree?
Look, I think every woman has a list, and you have a list when things are going crazy. If you're doing a reno or you're just really busy at work, you have a list. And, of course, there's a lot of what my friend used to call life admin that happens when you're dying. You know, it's not just the illness, it's dealing with all the paperwork and all that sort of stuff. So I think what it showed me is how many women out there and men, I've had a lot of men tell me they're list makers and how they really rely on their list. And I think, though, the deeper meaning, I guess, for me is, you know, we use, and this I only learnt through talking to people, is I think we write lists because we want to control things. We want to control things because we're trying to keep our family safe. And so ultimately I think lists are the great act of love, and they feel like you're being a control freak and a nag, but I actually think it's how we love people, especially as women. We want to try to control the uncontrollable, and, of course, the most uncontrollable thing is death. So, why would you go into that without a list, I reckon?
I've started resorting to lists, but it's only because I'm getting old and I forget things.
I've always forgotten things, so I don't think I'm going to even notice when I get dementia, because nothing's going to change.
Now, there's a wonderful cast of characters in this book, and all of them are flawed in various ways, except possibly one, Marsha. Tell Gladys about Marsha.
Marsha, as in Auntie Sugar.
Mm.
So Auntie Sugar, I think she's larger than life. She is partly based on a friend of mine, but she's people who always, she bustles into the room larger than life. And, you know, she calls it like she sees it. And she's got that great, you know, Australian sense of humour. Like when she finds out her friend's dying, she calls her up to say, "Are you dead yet?" So I think that's what I love about humour, is it's that really disarming thing where you get to talk about the things you don't want to speak about. And Marsha is one of those characters that says the unspeakable all the time.
I think
I love about her.
I've got a friend who's a bit like Marsha. I wonder if she's listening this afternoon. my partner at home listening to this broadcast will know exactly who I'm talking about. Larger than life, and will just come out and say things. Yes. If you haven't got a Marsha in your life, listeners, I strongly recommend you get a friend like Marsha. You'll have to read the book now so I understand what I mean, but which is a good tip anyway, to get the book and have a read. But definitely you need a Marsha in your life. Have you got a favourite character in the book other than Marsha?
Look, you know, it's funny because Clint, who's kind of a bit useless as a husband, I kind of accidentally fell in love with him because he's so well-intentioned and he really wants to do the right thing and he just fails miserably the time. But I kind of love that about him. And yeah, it's just that well-intentioned thing, because for me it always comes down to intent. If someone is meaning to do the right thing, then, you know, you've got to love them. And you do feel sorry for him because, you know, he's
hopeless.
When he comes, doesn't come up trumps. It's not like it's dealt with easily or kindly.
Vivian got mean with him at times.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, unconditional love, we all talk about that as this kind of ideal, but unconditional love means you love people when they're useless or when they're mean or when they're unkind. And I think we all often, you know, in our closest relationships, we're often the worst with the people we love the most. Mm. And it's because we feel safe that they're, you know, Viv can't be like that with everyone, but she can be like that with Clint, and it's not fair. But it's also, he also gets that underneath her, you know, her bite and her bark, that she is very vulnerable. Mm. And he, you know, like I think a lot of men, he gets her, and so in a weird way he manages to somehow not take it too personally. It also sometimes goes a bit over his head, I think, but anyway.
That's probably true. Now, the other thing we have to talk about is the music that you've produced to go with this book. Now, I thought this was unique. I haven't come across this before. You've got a CD of tracks, and the tracks are written. Have I got it around the right way? You wrote the book, and then you came up with the music to accompany the book? It's a great concept. Now, tell me, does that mean there's a musical in the offing?
Oh, well, look, actually, we're doing a little show at Brunswick Heads in New South Wales near Byron on the 2nd of October. And we've actually got Madeline West. She's an actor who was in, you might know, she was in Neighbours and Underbelly and a few things like that. So she's going to do a bit of a reading of the book with us performing the music live, which will be fun. And we're doing that to raise some funds for mental health in the region.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, which will be lovely. So anyone who's in the area, please come along.
Shoot us an email about that and I'll put it on our community announcements. It sounds like something very good.
Oh, thank you very much. But, I'd love a musical. To be honest, I've always loved musicals ever since I was a kid. I liked being in the musicals at school. I've always loved a musical. So I'd be very happy if there was the very last list of Vivian Walker at the musical. Nothing would make me happier. But I have to get the dance moves going. So, you know, we'll see how we go for that.
And of course, you do your music in cooperation with your partner, Mark Mittag, sorry.
Yeah, so we've been writing music. I've always done music and writing kind of simultaneously in my career. Mark's an exceptional guitarist, and we just wanted to create something. I don't know about you, but I often feel sad at the end of a book and I kind of mourn my characters and I miss them. So for me, the music's like an extension that you can keep playing after you've finished the book, and it kind of, you know, has some of the themes. There's some funny songs up there. There's a song about man flu and what a terrible disease that is. and then there's songs that really speak, that, you know, so there's funny ones, but there's also ones that are a bit dancey for dancing around with Auntie Sugar. And then there's a couple that are actually speak about, you know, when someone dies and it's like, you know, they never existed. There's a song about that, and the one that you played, Sink So Low, is kind of, oh, how could you be so terrible as to leave me, is kind of what Sink So Low is about. So I just wanted to continue the themes and the emotions of the book and make people laugh and dance and maybe shed a little nostalgic tear.
Listen, have you got time to stay with us while we play another one of your tracks?
Sure, I'd love to.
I've got lined up Cost of Love. I thought that would be a good one to play. Don't go away.
Policy for damaged goods, do you give love back? I'll choose more carefully, read TNCs, get my money back. I'm on my own, I don't need a loan, just trying to pay off my after pay. For what it's worth,
and that's The Cost of Love. Great track, Megan. And I was just commenting to Megan, I walked out the door of the building and looked down at the headland, and quite often there's a wedding going on, but in this case it appears to be a funeral because they're all wearing black. It seemed spooky. Oh, I'd pressed the wrong button there, Megan, but I've got you back now.
Oh, great.
Yes. Now, where can Gladys get hold of this book?
Oh, the book's pretty well available everywhere online. It's out through Hachette Australia is my publisher, but if you all good bookstores and anywhere online, if you just Google The Very Last Sister Vivian Walker, you can find it, or you can go to my website as well, and that'll have links to the book and to the music.
And the
website? MeganAlbany.com.
Oh, there you go, MeganAlbany.com. Yep, that'd be great. And the CD, where can Gladys get hold of the CD?
Oh, Gladys can get a hold of it. I just remember we had your one listener. You can get a hold of it again through MeganAlbany.com, the soundtrack, or you can get it on Spotify. You can go to Bandcamp, all sorts of places, depending on what you'd like to do.
All the usual platforms, we say. I don't know. A lot of that will perhaps go over the head of Gladys, but we've got other listeners who aren't technophobes like Gladys.
Well, for the technophobes, the easiest is go to MeganAlbany.com and you'll find all the links there. But if you just want to go into a bookshop, you can just ask them for it. And if they don't have it, they'll order it in because they might have sold out. You know,
you can buy it with the book. What a great package, the book and the accompanying CD. I love it.
And there's actually a thing my husband, when we were first putting it out, said, now there's this thing you've never heard of called a QR code. And I'm going, oh, what's that? And so there's actually a QR code on the back of the book where people can also get the album. And at the time I'm going, oh, no one will know how to use a QR code, honey. But of course, thanks to COVID, we do.
That's right. Yeah, it's become ubiquitous, so to speak. And just remind us again, the details of that gig coming up at Brunswick.
It's on the 2nd of October at 4 p.m. at the Brunswick Picture House.
And it's going to be a reading from the book and the music to go with it. And it's a fundraiser for?
It's a fundraiser for mental health in the Northern Rivers. And it's starring Madeline West, who is a fabulous actor who is on Neighbours and Underbelly. And I think she's just been filming something with Arj Barker, so she's going to be in a more comedic and serious role in this one, so that'll be fabulous. We're looking forward to working with her.
It will be fabulous. And Megan, it's been fabulous talking to you this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you so much for having me, Graham.
Not a problem at all. Now, I'm going to play another one of your tracks, but the other thing, I normally include a little comedy piece halfway through my show, and I often, it's Sammy J or something, and I couldn't find a Sammy J that I wanted this afternoon. But I went back through the archives and I found a fast forward skit with Magna Zabanski. Now, do you remember when she played the horrible, horrible character who was just hideous to everyone, including members of her family who were dying?
Ah, no, I don't remember that, but I'd love
you're
to hear
too,
it.
You're too young. It's nasty, but it's black humour. I thought, oh, no, this will work. You'll understand. Anyway, we're going to have a listen to Sugar Come Down, and then we'll listen to Magda after that. Megan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Not a problem. Here we go with Sugar Come Down.
Not sweet enough for you. Are you kidding me?
Maybe it's a sugar come down, 'cause you just weren't sweet enough for me. Maybe it's a sugar come down. Yeah, 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 yeah. Maybe it's a sugar come down, 'cause you just weren't sweet enough. Now that you think of for me, eating chocolate, watching TV, now. Now, now, now. Should get up and wash my hair. On days like these, I just don't care. Oh, no, now, now, now. Maybe it's a sugar come down, 'cause you just went straight enough for me. Maybe it's a sugar come down. Yeah, 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 yeah. Maybe it's a sugar come down, 'cause you just went. Cry all day, then just sleep the day away. Oh no, now, now, now. I know that when I feel this way, getting out of bed just doesn't pay. Oh no, now, now. Keeps piling up, but I just wanna drink another cup. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. the house in weeks. If these dirty walls could only speak of love. Now, now, now. Maybe it's a sugar come back. Guess you just went sweet enough for me. Maybe it's a sugar come back. Sugar, come on down, down. Sugar, come on down.